From his hometown of Peoria, Illinois, drafted direct from high school by the Clippers in 2004, he's played with 9 NBA franchises and has been key to the Warriors' 3 recent titles. Sean Livingston is a true pro, and this is the first installment of a series we have planned for the playoffs as we begin our check-ins with Sean. The first topic, what changes during the playoffs?
Being able to execute strategy, being able to execute a game plan. You have to look at each player, right, as their own, you know, as their own playbook. And it's a lot to deal with, but at the same time, you know, these are instincts while you're out there on the court. So the preparation that you go into the game with, you understand it if a player likes to go left more than he likes to go right. You understand it if a player is a three-point shooter or if he plays in the post. You understand the tendencies of each player that gets out there and that's making a mark on the game. And during the regular season, not so much, because the players and the teams are constantly fluctuating, as opposed to playoffs, 7-game series.
Welcome to Warriors Sound, coming to you from Los Angeles. I'm Lawrence Scott, joined by R.C. Davis, and the Warriors are getting set to face the Clippers in Game 3 of this first-round playoff series, and it's a one-all series, R.C., and a real turn of events, but now the series is on.
The series is on, and who would have thought the team would be going to L.A. tied at 1 after losing a 31-point lead, but it is what it is. DeMarcus Cousins goes down, out indefinitely. We'll see how long he's out. But, yeah, it's 1-1. It's now a series.
That was a real bummer, too, watching that the other night, seeing that he was so amped up about his first playoffs experiences.
And his teammates were amped up for him.
Yeah, and then, you know, you saw how he was, you know, really geared up for that game one and then wanted to have a really good showing in game two. And he's been hustling so much to make things happen and just a freak occurrence. And it's the kind of thing that the Warriors had a bit of a backup plan. Andrew Bogut, back from Australia. It's a big, big deal now.
A thinner, a healthy Andrew Bogut. And it's a good thing they signed him. That what was a luxury has sort of turned into a necessity. And Draymond Green said earlier that he made an immediate impact in that first game in San Antonio.
First game he was back, I think it was San Antonio, literally the first time out, first time Jordan Bell entered the game, and first time out, he's coaching him up. And it was funny, as I walked up to Jordan, I said, there you go, that's who taught me everything. And so, you know, it's just special to see. It's been very refreshing to have him back here. And, you know, he came back here to win another championship, and that's what we plan on doing.
That's a really great thing about Andrew Bogut, too, his willingness to share the game and share the experiences that he's had and bring it forward with younger guys. Draymond was a beneficiary of this. And you think back to 2014, RC, and there was the Game 7 where Draymond hit a slew of threes, I believe 5 of them in that game. The Warriors, in what was Mark Jackson's final game as the Warriors head coach, you know, gave it a good try. Very different Clippers team back then than what we're seeing now. But when you think back to 2014, what comes back to you?
The rivalry, the pushing, the Blake Griffin, the nastiness of it, the Dante Jones, the chippiness of the series, and how, like you said, Mark Jackson was the coach. David Lee was an all-star. It was a completely different team. Steph and Clay had yet to emerge as the Splash Brothers. It was a completely different team. But Draymond, as you said, yeah, hit those 5 threes. And it's amazing now when Draymond hits those shots, what a bonus that is for the Warriors. When he's hitting his shots as he did the last game in game 2, they're a completely different team.
When we look at this game 3, the Warriors have played the Clippers pretty well at Staples Center over the past couple years and really do bring a lot of energy. And after the game the other night, after game 2, Stephen Curry was asked about, you know, is this the kind of thing that, you know, everyone's back in the locker room and they're, you know, concerned or a backs against the wall. And while it was a disappointing night to see DeMarcus Cousins go down and while the Clippers tied the series, it didn't seem to be to the players or the ones that came to the podium something that's insurmountable.
No.
There's actually been way bigger things to overcome in the past.
Such as being down 3-1 to OKC.
That or the Memphis series even in 2015.
Yeah.
I mean, this opportunity now for the Warriors to get back on track in Los Angeles will be well served. And Yeah, let's turn the corner here on another couple of topics as we look at things that have been in the news this past week with the Warriors. And Sunday night, a really cool thing, and it was a 60 Minutes. Well, there was that too. A really cool thing in that 60 Minutes did a full profile on the Warriors, and it was a really good, like, 13, 14-minute profile that John Wertheim, the Sports Illustrated writer who's also a CBS News 60 Minutes correspondent, was part of. And he did a sit-down with, you know, the Warriors veteran players, and Kevin Durant was there, Stephen Curry was there, Klay Thompson was there, Andre Iguodala was there,
Sean Livingston
was there, and they're all sitting there and kind of give this feeling.
Well, I thought it was perfect for the person or the viewer that watches 60 Minutes religiously, and maybe sports are not on, you know, it's more on their periphery, and they know the Warriors are good, but they don't know the story of maybe how they get along, which someone who follows the team every day would know about Steve Kerr's MO and how he deals with the team and their personalities and take some bowling on a day off. I'm sure that the novice fan had no idea about those things. And you get the news person who's just sitting there watching 60 Minutes going, oh, this Warriors team's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. And you were in the bowling video.
I was.
And I shot the bowling video.
Yes, you did.
It was fun.
Okay. Cold Minneapolis day, and all of a sudden we're all on the bus, and everyone thinks they're heading to the arena for shootaround. I think we're going to University of Minnesota where the Gophers play, and we're like, where are we? All of a sudden, we're in a neighborhood. We pull off, and we're at some. We had rented out a whole bowling alley for the team. How? I mean, the players were psyched.
Do you remember what the bowling alley was called?
I don't.
It was called Memory Lanes. I'm not kidding you. Well, anyway, at the practice facility the other day, when John Wertheim was there doing these interviews, we talked to him about what exactly all of this meant in putting this together and what he got from this experience. Take a listen.
Does that make it sweeter that you guys didn't start out at this champion caliber team?
Even like my 10 years being here, I feel like I've played for three different teams.
With the Warriors starting another year in the NBA playoffs, we catch up with 60 Minutes correspondent John Wertheim as he features the Warriors on 60 Minutes here at the start of the playoffs.
I guess I was struck most by this balance they seem to have between past, present, future. I mean, this team 10 years ago was not playing championship caliber ball. I mean, when Steph and Clay especially got here, this was not the Warriors that we have today. So there's a bit of an extra appreciation that this franchise has come a long way. I think this team is very fixated on winning. They're not looking to the future. They're not thinking about summer and free agency. They're not thinking about what may or may not happen last year. I asked them what it was like to defend, and they said, I don't really look at it as defending, that they're out to start a new mission just like every other team in the league. And that's real athlete perspective right there. I mean, that's not how I think most people would have framed this. Hey, you won. You've got the trophy. Everyone's coming to get it. Are you going to hold court or are you not? That's not how they framed it. And they all nodded immediately when Steph made that point. That, I thought, was really a little fascinating bit of insight.
You know, I've always loved that show. It was a really special thing to see the Warriors on that.
Sidebar, there's a documentary coming out this summer on Mike Wallace, which I'm looking very forward to seeing in July.
Really?
Yes, I read about it in the USA Today today. So, yeah, 60 Minutes. We've all grown up on that show.
Yeah, to see the, I mean, and you'd seen over the years, different athletes had been profiled. I mean,
yes.
Ed Bradley did something with LeBron James that was pretty memorable. And Giannis Antetokounmpo was even followed around by 60 Minutes. So for the Warriors team to be profiled, that was kind of overdue, really.
With all the media outlets there are today and how there's 900 channels on TV, there's still some staples. The Today Show, The Tonight Show, 60 Minutes. You know, these are part of Americana. You
exactly.
know, it's very cool.
All right. And we're hoping soon that Warrior Sound is as much part of Americana.
Yes.
We come to you from Los Angeles. I'm Lawrence Scott. He's R.C. Davis. And a couple more things here before we head off into the sunset as we tape this on a Wednesday evening. Warriors and Clippers set to play Thursday night at Staples Center. It is game 3 in this series, and you have sort of another look at what's going on the court, not the stuff off the court like my little 60-minute sojourn there.
Yes, well, I mean, again, Warriors top seed in the West, but for Steph Curry, he knows this isn't going to last forever. These are the golden years. Making the playoffs is still a big and huge thing, and here a few days ago at practice, he talks about just that.
On our team, you got the full spectrum of experiences. You got DeMarcus 9 years until he gets his first.
I missed the playoffs our first 4 years. No, yeah, 4 years. And then finally made it. Haven't missed it since. Draymond has only played in playoff series. So you kind of got the full spectrum. I think we all understand how hard it is, whether you're searching to get there or you're trying to stay there. Every year it's tough, no matter what conference you're in. You definitely have to enjoy it and appreciate it for sure. This is the most fun basketball we get to play. These 2 months are memorable no matter, you know, how it ends.
And like he just said, you don't know how it's going to happen. Here we are 1-1. No one would have thought that to the 8th-seeded Clippers. No one would have thought, and we believe, that the 8th-seeded Warriors would beat Dallas. Now, I'm not saying the Clippers will win, but what I'm saying is Steph has it all in perspective, like he always does. And here we are, 1-1.
Well, this entire playoffs with every team involved is going to be competitive.
Oh, yeah.
This is a year where it is set up to be that it's competitive. Everyone knew coming into this playoffs that every team participating was going to have a reasonable showing, and some are expected. In each conference, you can say there are four top teams that you would expect to be in the conference finals. But when you look at how these series are going to play out, some are going to go 6-7 games.
Yes, and it's nice not to hear that the East is the JV anymore. I was really tired of that narrative. And everything's cyclical, and you could argue that, three of the top five teams in all the league are in the East. So it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be fun.
All right, we'll do more of this as we go throughout the playoffs and here in Los Angeles during this series. We'll catch up with you with more of these Warrior Sound updates. With RC Davis, I'm Lawrence Scott. And you're listening to Warrior Sound.